Shabbos Daf Pei Dalad. We are in Pei Gimel Amud Beis. The last two words of the Amud, continuing yesterday's discussion. We are here in the ninth parak of the Masechta, and as we already saw, the Mishnayos take us on a tour of Shas. We are going through topic. The thread, the connective tissue that connects all these topics together, is the opening Mishnah of our parak, where the Mishnah brings down the halacha and then cites a smach to it from the Navi. The reason why the Mishnah is here in the ninth parak of Shabbos decide to go on this course is because of the last Mishnah of the eighth parak of the Masechta, where there too the format was first a halacha that is said over, and then a smach, a support for this halacha that is found in the Navi. So the first Mishnah we dealt with was the Tumah Derabanan that was slapped on Avodah Zarah, and we had a remez for that in the Psukim in Yeshayahu, and that took us for the first good amount of this parak. And then the Mishnah that we saw on yesterday's daf on Pei Gimel Amud Beis is regarding Sfina, regarding a boat. And the fact is that a boat is not Mekabel Tumah. How come a boat is not Mekabel Tumah? So we have two ideas that support this halacha that a boat is not Mekabel Tumah. One is a Pasuk in Mishlei, which again matches the format as we just described. The Pasuk in Mishlei says, how do I know that a boat is not Mekabel Tumah? Because the Pasuk in Mishlei writes, Derech Ania B'Lev Yam, that the way of a boat is in the ocean, and a hekesh created between a boat and the ocean, and just like an ocean is not Mekabel Tumah, so too a boat is not Mekabel Tumah as well. However, the Gemara also cited another explanation why a boat is not Mekabel Tumah, assuming that a boat is made out of wood, so we know that anything that is wood that is going to be Mekabel Tumah has to be dumya de sak, it has to be similar to that of a sack. Which means to say that just like a sack is transported both when it's full and when it's empty, so too a boat is only going to be Mekabel Tumah when it's transported both when it's full and when it's empty. When we say transported, meaning you pick and lift the boat up. Obviously, the boat is, generally speaking, too big to lift up. And so as a result of that, as a consequence of that, the boat is not going to be Mekabel Tumah. As we already discussed at the end of yesterday's daf, we noted that there's going to be a difference whether we're learning it from the Pasuk and Mishlei versus we're learning it based on the explanation that was given by Hananya. If the explanation is based on the Mishnah, so that means to say that any boat is not going to be Mekabel Tumah, and it should not matter what the construction of the boat is made out of, whether it's made out of wood or made out of earthenware. However, according to the explanation of Hananya, that it's dumya desak, so that would only be true if the boat is made out of wood. If, however, the boat is made out of earthenware, by earthenware you do not have this halacha of that's mitaltel both mali v'reikan, that has to be transported both when it's empty and it's full. And so therefore, according to Hananya, a boat made out of earthenware is in fact going to be Mekabel Tumah. That would be one difference between the two of them. A second difference noted the Gemara is, let's say it's a smaller boat. A smaller boat that goes along the Jordan River. So such a boat is in fact lifted up off the water and brought onto shore. And so under those circumstances where the boat is smaller, so if you're going to be learning with the Mishnah of Derech Ania B'Lev Yam, so it doesn't matter what the size of the boat is just simply going to be impervious to Tumah. If, however, we're learning it based on the reason that was given by Hananya, so then a boat that is in fact able to be lifted and brought onto shore is going to be Mekabel Tumah. And the Gemara says that's going to be two nafkaminas, two practical differences between whether we learn it like the Mishnah, like the Stam Mishnah, or we're going to learn it like Hananya. As we continue now in the Gemara, we are in the last two words, Amar Rava. The Gemara now is going to qualify, because we just learned together that a boat, as long as it can be lifted up and brought onto shore, so that is considered something which is transportable. Now, a boat, even a smaller boat, is going to be very difficult to lift it up. In fact, if you go to anyone who has a boat in their backyard, and you see that they have a dock, so what they have is machinery in order to lift up the boat. So back in the good old days, machinery came in the form of animals. And let's say the boat can't be lifted by humans, but it can be lifted by animals. Is that considered tiltal? And that's where we're going to be starting off the discussion. Amar Rava, so now as we turn to the top of Pei Dalam and Aleph, Ule Chananya, according to the sheet of Chananya, tiltal ide shvarim shmei tiltal. Even though the transport has to be done by animals, meaning the boat, even though it's smaller, still requires animals in order to lift it and to bring it up into shore, that qualifies as tiltal. And as Rashi points out over here, the first Rashi on the Amud, Amar Sfina Metatelos Malea Temea, Afilo Eina Metatelos Ella Ayidei Shvarim. In other words, it's just simply too heavy where it can't be lifted by people. And it can only be lifted by animals. Nevertheless, Mirov Godla, just too big. But nevertheless, that's considered tiltal. That's considered that is transportable. And therefore will meet the criteria of being Mekabel Tumah. With that stated now, the Gemara is going to point out that we could support this based on the following. We're going to be learning two series of Mishnahs. Actually, we're going to be learning a Mishnah, followed then by another Mishnah in Kalim, both in the 19th parak of Kalim. And on top of that, we're going to be also learning a Tosefta. And by putting all that together, we're going to just simply give a support for this idea that when something can be transported by animals, even though it's too big to be transported by humans, but that still qualifies as Tiltal. First, we learn a Mishnah together in Kelim Ditnan. Shal Shagala saying there are three types of wagons. Asuya Kekatadria Tamea Medras. If, let's say, the wagon is looks like an armchair. So that means that the construction of the wagon is basically, it is designed to be sat on. And so therefore, anything which is designed to be sat on is going to be subject to Tumas Medras. And that means to say that when you have a Zav or a Zava, or a Nida or a Yoledis, sitting on an item that was designed for sitting, so it is now going to be susceptible to Tumas Medras, like we have discussed time and again. Tumas Medras now means that the item itself is going to be Tame to the same degree that the person is as well. The Zav obviously is an Avatoma, so that means that the chair that was sat on is also going to be an Avatoma. And so therefore, the first type of Agala is one that's designed like a chair, and therefore when sat on, it is going to be, in fact, subject to Tumas Medras. Kimita, second type of wagon, is going to be the mita. It's shaped like a bed. So tummy tumas mace, it's going to be tummy, it's going to be subject to tumas mace. Rashi writes over here that the Mishnah does not limit its comments to tumas mace. It means really that it's going to be mekabel any other type of tuma, just simply not tumas medras. The fact of the matter is that it's a kli, it's a utensil, and as a functioning utensil, it's going to be susceptible to tumah and all types of tumah. But because it is shaped like a mita, so that means to say that it's not exclusively used for sitting. In order for an item to be considered something eligible for tumas medras, it must be exclusively used for sitting. At no point in time does one person to say to another, hey, could you get off that item because I need to use it. That is the expression that we find throughout Shas of Amod v'nasem lachtenu, get up so we could do our work. If, however, you have an item where it is used for sitting, but it's also used for other utility as well, so it's not going to be subject to Tumas Medras. If our wagon is going to be shaped like a mita, so it's going to be used for other utilities, and therefore it's not going to be subject to Tumas Medras, but it will be subject to all other types of Tuma. And finally, Shal Avanim Tar Mikla. Now, let's say you have a wagon, but it's used in order to transport stones. And right now what the Gemara is thinking is that this Mishnah Kalim is describing in this third type of wagon is something that is used for stones. First of all, it's got to be really big if it's transporting stones. And also, it's got very large holes in it. And the holes are so large that really it doesn't have any kind of function other than transporting stones. And as we've learned together, in order for a kli to be a kli, it has to have a toch, it has to have a, it has to have an insert, it has to have a depressed area, and on top of that, it has to be something that can at least be able to hold the size of rimonim of pomegranates. If the holes in that in the insert is any larger, where it can't hold pomegranates, so then it does not serve as a kli in the halachic sense, in the defined halachic sense. And so therefore, the Gemara's assumption over here is that because it is so large and that the holes are so big and it's not going to be able to hold the kli, so then it's tahora miklum, and then it's going to be tahor legamre. So is the Mishnah in Kelim. Ve'am Rav Yochanan v'yim yesh ba'beis kibol rimonim tamei tamei meis. And Rav Yochanan says, now, on this last example that we just gave, let's say the holes aren't so big. Meaning it's true that this chest over here, this wagon, I should say, it's a wagon. This wagon over here is going to be used for transportation of stones. It happens to also be that the bottom, the base in which it's sitting in fact, is not large holes, but rather it has small holes. And so therefore, there would be no problem for me to put pomegranates in it. I happen to be using it right now for stones, but I could even fit pomegranates in. The pomegranates won't go through, so then it's going to be mekabel tuma. So far, what do we have in front of us? A Mishnah and Rav Yochanan's comment on that Mishnah. Now, here's what we're going to do. We're going to put that Mishnah side by side with another Mishnah. Shalosh Teva saying there are three different types of chests. Teva Shit. Pischa mitzida tamei medras. So the first kind of chest that we're describing over here is where the opening is on the side. So that means that it's a chest slash chair. And basically you can have somebody sit on top of it, but at the same time, however, it's a chest. It has a door, and people could store things in it. It happens to be that the door opens up from the side and not from the top. And because the door opens up from the side and not from the top, so that means to say that the top can be exclusively used for sitting. And so now we have a kli that's designed exclusively for sitting, and on top of that, it also has a small little drawer on the side, but it opens up from the side, so never do we have to ask the person to get up, so now it's going to be eligible for Tumas Medras. Number two, milamala. If let's say the door for this chest is from the top, so tamei tamas meis, so it's subject to tamas meis. That means to say that because the door now opens up only from the top, the chest is a top drawer chest. A top drawer is not the best way to describe it, but basically the opening is coming in from the top. So as a result of that, so we're going to have to say to somebody, hey, could you please get up, because we have to open up the door in order to put something in the chest. Since it is not exclusively used for sitting, so therefore it's not going to be subject to tumas medrash. It will, however, in fact, be subject to all other types of tumah. It's a kli, and therefore it's eligible to become tummy in any other way. And finally, the third, v'haba b'mida tahara miklom. If something is ba b'mida, it's so large, so then tahara miklom, it's going to be tar lagamri. Now, Rashi over here points out that the words haba b'mida is an expression that's hard to translate. But Rashi says that probably what it means to say is that it's extraordinarily large. Now, the point of all this is as follows. And Rashi over here, you can see the Rashi, the Veramaskal Torah Miklum. So it's Tar Lagamre, meaning it's not going to be subject to neither Tumas Medras nor Tumas Ameis. And the Rashi over there points out that the reason why it's Bab Mida, it's Klamar, at the end of the Rashi, Shitzricha Lamud Arkav Rachva. That you have to measure it, meaning it's so large you have to measure it. But anyway, what comes out from all this is the following. When you take these two Mishnahs side by side, put them side by side, what comes out over here is the following. In the first one, we were talking about a wagon. Now, the three categories of wagon is one for sitting, one as a regular kli, and one that's really large that's used for stones. Now, in the case of the wagon, we said that the first one's Tumas Medrash, second one's Tumas Mason, the third one is Tarhu Lagamre. But Rabbi Yochanan's comment on that is only because the holes are so big. But if the holes are not so big, so then it's going to be subject to tumah. That's by the wagon. And then we have the next Mishnah, which talks about a series of chests. One where the door is on the side, one's the door is on the top, and the other one where the chest is so large that you basically can't move it. Now, in the first case, it's tumas medra, second case, it's tumas mace, and the third case, it's tar legamre. Now, here's the Gemara doesn't finish its sentence, doesn't conclude its point. But the point is that this supports what we just learned together. Because in the case of the wagon, when I have the wagons that are used for transporting stones, how are we picking up the wagon? How are we moving that wagon? And the answer is that we have to do it through animal labor. There's no way that a person could just simply pick up such a wagon and transport it. It's carrying stones. And meanwhile, as long as the holes are small enough where it's able to hold pomegranates, it's going to be subject to tumah, even though how is it being transported? Only through animals. As opposed to a chest that's so large, now the chest obviously is not being transported. And because the chest is so large, so therefore in the third example of the chest, it's not tameh at all. And so when you see these two Mishnayos side by side, now we realize that we do have a support for the statement of Hananya that when something is transported by animals, that still qualifies as transport. Continuing now in the Gemara Tan Rabbanan Medrash Kli Cheres Tahor. Now the Gemara is going to treat us to a halacha regarding Tumah Tahara, and it will be really the focus of the remainder of this daf. When I have kli cheres, so that means it's made of earthenware, and it's medrash, it was designed for sitting, it is going to be tahor, meaning that is not going to be susceptible to tumas medrash. The source for this we're going to be discussing a little bit later on, but right now just we're going to navigate our way through this brisa. The Tanakhama of this brisa says that when I have the medrash, a sitting item, that was made out of earthenware, it is going to be Tahor. Rav Yossi Amar Afasfin, and Rav Yossi says even a boat. Now this braisa over here is really short and slightly cryptic. And the Gemara is now going to try to make sense of this braisa in its totality. Maika Amar. So the question over here is very simple. Can we try to make sense of this braisa? Amar Zved Hafi Kamar, so the Gemara is going to give a first attempt. Medjus Kli Cheres Tahor Umago Tamev. That when I have a Kli Cheres that is designed for sitting, it is going to be not subject to Tumas Medras. However, if somebody were to touch it, now, as we've said time and again throughout Shas, when you have Kli Cheres, how does it become Tamei? So the source of Tumah has to go into the Kli Cheres, into the interior airspace of the Kli Cheres, then and only then it becomes Tamei. If somebody were to make external contact with the Kli Cheres, even if that which makes contact is an Ava Tumah, the Kli Cheres does not become Tamei, only through either in contact with the interior airspace, or just simply going into the interior airspace is enough to make it tame. Now, what we're suggesting is pshat is that according to the Tanakhama, the kli cheres that was sat on by a zav is going to be not tame. It'll be tahor. And again, reasons we'll give a little bit later on. However, negia, but if it comes into contact, and contact over here means the interior airspace of the kli cheres, it is going to be tameh. Usfina shel cheres tameh. Now, if the boat is made out of cheres, it's going to be tameh. Now, kechananya. Now, as going over what we learned at the end of yesterday's daf, that is a machlokus between our Mishnah and Chananya, and to say that the boat made out of cheres is going to be tameh, that is siding with the position of Chananya. So the Tanakama of this cryptic brisa is going like Chananya. And then Rabbi Yossi Amar Afasfina Tahara, and Rabbi Yossi is of the opinion that the boat is going to be Tahara, Kitana Didan, because he's holding like our Mishnah. That our Mishnah gives a blanket Tahara to a boat simply by virtue of the fact that it's a boat. The Pasuk of Mishlei says that a boat is like an ocean. An ocean is not Mekabel Tumah, neither is a boat. And it will not make a difference whether the boat is made out of wood or made out of Kli Cheres. The boat is simply not Mekabel Tumah, and so therefore Rabbi Yossi is espousing the viewpoint of our Mishnah. This is right now what we're offering as pshat in the Braisa. So Maskel Rav Papa. So Rav Papa says, even as the Braisa is really short and really cryptic, but there's one thing that we know, that when Rav Yossi is introducing his opinion, he opens up with the words af. And that means to say, Rav Yossi says, even the boat. So by looking at the conjunction that was added by Rav Yossi, even the boat. So what does that mean, even the boat? So even without knowing fully well what the pshat is, we know that Rav Yossi is agreeing with the Tanakama, and then adding a position to the Tanakama. And the Gemara says, now based on the pshat that we just offered, that doesn't make any sense. So my af. So over here in our Mishnah, the way we just offered the pshat in it, so when we say, what was the pshat that Rav Zvi just offered in the Braisa, that according to the Tanakama, the medrash of Kli Cheres is tahar, the negia of the Kli Cheres is tameh, but when it comes to a boat is going to be tameh. And Rav Yossi says, af hasfina, even the boat. Well, what do you mean? Meaning, at this point in time, we have, Rav Zvid has the Tanakama aligned with the sheet of Chananya, the boat is Mekabel Tumah. And according to Rav Yossi, Rav Zvid has going like our Mishnah. And our Mishnah says that a boat is not Mekabel Tumah, and the word af just simply does not fit in to the construct of that braisa. So Alam Rav Papa says, so let me offer a different pshat in the braisa, hachi kamer. So this is now going to be our second attempt of explaining pshat in the braisa, medrash kli cheres tahor magu tamei. So if I have something made out of kli cheres and it was sat by a zav, and even if though it's a chair, it's not going to be subject to tumas medrash. And again, the reason why we're going to articulate in just a moment. However, negia, but if you come into contact with it, and again, contact over here means it's kli cheres, interior airspace of it, so it's going to be tummy. Now, this is true if the item is made out of cheres. However, vishel eitz, if it's made out of wood, bein medras, bein mago tummy. So whether it's tumas medras or whether it's tumas maga, it's going to be tummy, like the standard rules of any kli that is going to be made, out of wood. Usfina sayar dein tahora, and now when it comes to the boat of the Jordan River, it's going to be tahor ketani didan, like the Stam Mishnah that we learned in yesterday's daf. And so now the Tanakama gives us a wonderful progression: kli cheres not tamei tumas medras. Yes, it's going to be tamei with maga. When it comes to wood, it will be tamei both medras and maga. And when it comes to a boat, it's not going to be tamei at all, because the Tanakama of the Braisa is going like the Tana of our Mishnah. And now comes Rabbi Yossi, and he says, af hasfina tameya, even the boat's going to be tameya. Oh, so now it works out very good, because Rabbi Yossi is saying, look, just like the anything made out of wood is going to be subject to tumah, so too the boat is also going to be tameh as well. And he's following the position of Chananya. And so now this pshat works out very well, and it explains the word af beautifully. And so now what we have is good understanding, good pshat in the braisa. Now this braisa is assuming, according to everybody, that if a zav or a zavah were to sit on a kli cheres, even though the kli cheres operates as a chair, something designed to be sat on, it is not going to be subject to tumas medras. Why should that be? And that will be the Gemara's discussion for the rest of the daf. How do I know that Medrash Kli Cheres is in fact going to be Tahor? The Pasuk says that when a person were to touch his Mishkav is referring to the Zav. And so when a person touches the Zav, just like the Zav himself is an Avatumah, and the person who touches him is going to be now a Rishon LaTumah, so too when somebody touches the Mishkav of the Zav. And as we said now already numerous times,
the Mishkav of Avazav is going to have the special Tumas Medrus, just like the person's an Avatumah, that which he sits on is also going to be an Avatumah. So the person who comes into contact with the Mishkav of the Zav is going to also now become subject to Tumah. The person touching the Mishkav is going to be a Rishon L'Tumah, but the point is that the Mishkav itself is an Avatumah. Good. That's the basic. Now the Gemara is going to take us one step further. Mekish Mishkavo Lo. So we have a Hekish comparing his Mishkav to him. Mahu Islei Tahara B'Mikvah, Af Mishkavo Nami Islei Tahara B'Mikvah. So that means that the only thing that is going to be eligible to the special Tumas Medrus is only if at least it could be toveled in the Mikvah. Just like the Zav himself can be toveled in the Mikvah, not only can be, but needs to toveled in the Mikvah, so too the Mishkav of the Zav also has to be toveled in the Mikvah, meaning and that it will be effective. But anytime you're describing a Kli that toveling in the Mikvah is ineffective, so then that is not going to be included in the Hekesh. And as we've said time and again throughout Shas, a Kli Cheres is not, there is no Tefillah B'Mikvah. When a Kli Cheres becomes Tameh, the only way to resolve its Tumah, to remove the Tumah, is only through Shvira, only through breaking it. And there is no Tefillah B'Mikvah when it comes to a Kli Cheres. And therefore, the Hekesh now teaches us that the only materials that are going to be subject to Tumas Metris are only the materials that are Tovalabol. Okay? Made up word, but it works for this discussion. Just as a detail, by the way, over here, Tosus points this out. When it comes to the Zav, so he has to tov in the mikvah, but that's a bit of an inaccuracy. The Zav does not tov in the mikvah, but rather the Zav has to go into a mayan, he has to go into mayim chaim, into a spring water. Meaning under normal circumstances, when the Torah demands tahara, the Torah does not detail whether you can go into a mikvah, or you need to go into a mikvah, versus whether you need to go into a spring, into a live spring. As we discussed this actually recently here in Masechta Shabbos. Both are ways of producing tahara, either going into a mayan, into a natural spring source, or into go mikvah, into collected rainwater. Either one would be fine. It happens to be that for the Zav, the Torah demands that the Zav has to go into mayim chayim. He has to go into natural spring water. And so therefore, the Gemara's usage of the word mikvah over here is slightly imprecise, and Tosfos makes this point over here. You could see the Tosfos. Divra maschal mahi di islei tahara b'mikvah. Okay, so Tosfos points out over here that the Gemara's language over here is slightly imprecise, but the point still being made, that Kli Cheres, there's no mikvah, there's no concept of mikvah whatsoever, and so therefore, the Kli Cheres is not going to be within the Parsha of Tumas Medrus. Debei Rav Yishmael Tana, continuing now in the Gemara. The Yeshiva of Rav Yishmael also teaches us the same halacha, but over here, they learn it from a slightly different source. Kim Mishkav Nidata Yela. So it will be like the Mishkav Nida, meaning that the Torah over here is describing a Zava sitting on an item. Now, of course, the Zava, again, she is Tameya, and she's subject to Tumas Medrus. She sits on an item that's designed for sitting. That item will be Tamei to the same degree she is. Again, Tumas Medrus. And again, over here, the Torah equates that which she sits on to her. And it's the same basic idea. Mekish Mishkav Allah. Mahi Isla Tahara B'Mikvah. Af Mishkavah Nami Islei Tahara B'Mikvah. Lafuki Kli Cheres Olei Islei Tahara B'Mikvah. And so what comes out over here again is the idea that just like she can go through a Tahara by going to the Mikvah, so too the things that are subject to Tumas Medrus are only those things which those two can and only can experience tahara in the mikvah. And this is coming to exclude the Kli Cheres, because again, there is no mikvah when it comes to a Kli Cheres. These two drushas are very similar to one another. What exactly is the distinction between these two drushas? Not really clear. One's talking about the Mishkav of Azav, the other one's talking about the Mishkav of Azava. I'm sure there are subtle differences between them, but I myself cannot articulate what the differences are. Continuing in the Gemara, we're on the very bottom of Pei Dalet Amud Alav Mesiv Rav Eli, and so now a question that is challenged based on the following: Mapatz Bemes Minayin. Let's say you have a mat. The mat is made out of reed. So reed over here, we're going to assume is basically under the family of wood. It's Kli Eitz. And so this is a mat, so this falls under the category of what in halacha is described as pshutei kli eitz. You take a look at the last Rashi over here on the Amud, b'meis minayin, shuhu tamil lefisha matzina shepshutei kli eitz taharim mitumas maga sheretz. So here is the background information that we need to appreciate in order to understand the Gemara. We know that when it comes to any wood that is flatware, that does not have a toch, so we know that generally speaking, pshute kli eitz is not susceptible to tumah. And so if I have any kind of flatware that is made out of wood, it's not just simply impervious to tumah. If I have a knife made out of wood, I understand it's not that functional, but if I have a knife made out of wood, so it's not going to be mekabel tumah. However, this mat in question over here is basically a mat made up of reeds, and a person can sit on it. And what the Braisa over here is going to teach us is that despite the fact that it's not eligible for Tumah Sheret, the standard Tumah where it comes into contact with the Sheret, but again, I'm looking back at the bottom Rashi over here, Minayin Shekli Harei LeMishka V'Moshav Mekabel Tumas Maga B'Meis. So as long as it is now subject to Tumas Mishka V'Moshav, meaning this mat is used as some form of a cushion, and so therefore it is subject to being sat on, and therefore eligible for Mishka V'Moshav, and as a result of that, it's going to be also eligible for Maga B'Meis. So basically, what we're learning over here is as follows. There are a couple of pathways to get us to susceptibility to Tumah. When it comes to a wooden kli in general, flatware is not going to be Mekabel Tumah, because again, the halacha is very simple, is very straightforward. Pshute kli eitz is not Mekabel Tumah. However, there is another channel, there's another avenue to get us to the point of Tumah, and that is that even if it's flatware, but it's designed for sitting, and because now it's eligible for Tumas Medrash, so therefore Tumas Medrash is built on top of standard Tumah. So that means to say that if it's going to be eligible for Tumas Medrash, it by definition also has to be eligible for Tumas Meis as well. Again, Tumas Meis just simply means all other types of Tumah. So it's just simply another avenue to get us to the fact that this is going to be subject to Tumah. That's what we're dealing with right now. That's what we're learning together in this Braisa. So, Mapas B'meis Minayin, how do I know that? As we now turn to the top of the Amud Beis V'dinhu. So, the Gemara says it's based on the following logical construct. Pachim Ketanim Shedarim B'Zav Tamein B'meis. So, when I have Pachim Ketanim, now Pachim Ketanim over here just simply means that they're really small jars made up of earthenware. Almost like vials, if you will. So, they are not going to be subject to Tumas Medras. Now, they're not going to be subject to Tumas Medrash, so we'll go through the Rashi in just a moment, why not? And yet, they are subject to Tumas Meis, meaning that if they are in an airspace of a Meis, and we know that what happens is that Tumas Meis goes up to the rooftop and then covers the entire area under the roof, and it drops back down again, and you have these vials of Kli Cheres, and they're open. So that means to say now that the Tumas Meis is going to go into it, because remember, now we're talking basically about there's no physical way to describe this tumah, but the tumah as not a physical item, but as a halachic reality now is going to penetrate into the vial, and therefore that goes into the interior of a kli cheres, and it's going to make it tumah. So let's just go through the logic, and then we're going to come back to the Rashi. Ma pachim ketanim shetarim bezav tamein b'meis. Now these pachim ketanim are just simply not going to be subject to medras, and meanwhile it is susceptible to meis. If these cushions made out of reeds are in fact subject to Tumas Zav, so then they're going to be subject to Tumas Meis as well. Now, that's the argument, and the Gemara stands by the argument. The argument is, in fact, a correct conclusion. So we've just concluded that Mapas, that when I have a reed that's designed as a cushion, so not only is it subject to Tumas Medrash, it's also going to be subject to Tumas Meis as well. And the Gemara, based on that, is going to ask a question. And so let's just recognize right now the conclusion that we just saw. And it sets us up for the question, but let's just go through a couple of details over here. And first and foremost, the Gemara says that when it comes to Pachim Ketanim, it is not going to be subject to the Tumas Medrash. Take a look at Rashi over here. Rashi, critical, just in terms of basic ideas when it comes to Tumah. Rashi writes over here, it's the top Rashi on the Amud, V'dinhu. That pachim ketanim, these small jars, are not going to become tameh in any way. So first of all, as far as Tumas Medrash is concerned, so Rashi says from a practical standpoint, these are small vials, they're not designed for sitting, and on top of that, they're medrash. I'm sorry, they're cheres, sorry. Their cheres, their earthenware, and earthenware is not going to be subject to Tumas Medrash. That's one. Two, Rashi continues, "V'magalo l'tamo de'ein matamos ela mi'aviron ve'ein yachol achnisam esbal natochem im neshepiyam sar." Okay, what about these pachim ketanim, these really small vials? How about them being subject to tumas maga? Meaning, couldn't somebody stick their finger inside into the interior to make them tamei? So Rashi says no. And Rashi says no because you simply cannot fit your fingers inside. These vials, these earthenware jugs are so small, they're not jugs. They're like small vials that you can't even fit your finger in them. And so therefore, the only way they can become tamei is only me'aviran, and you just simply can't fit your finger in them, it's too small. And Rashi points out, v'hesep lo, now what about simply moving them? Like we discussed just the other day. Another way of transmitting tumah is through hesed, which means that if somebody is a zav and he causes another item to move, so that item now becomes tameh. So Rashi says, no, that's not going to work over here. De'afki rechman ablasha negia. De'choshein ha-metameh b'mage, ein ha-metameh b'hesed. Because hesed really is a subcategory of negia. And once we have ruled out that there's no way to transmit tumah to the vials, to these earthenware vials through negia, so hesed, which is really just a subcategory of negia, is also ruled out as well. And Rashi goes on with a couple of other details, but basically when it comes to pachim ketanim, the reason that they're not going to become tamei, not tumas medras, because they're not designed for sitting, on top of that, kli cheres is not subject to tumas medras. It's also not going to be subject to tumas maga, because there's just simply no way to put your finger into the interior airspace, and so therefore it's not going to be subject to tumas maga as well. It will be subject to tumas meis, because again, like we already described, because when these vials now are sharing a roof underneath meis, so now the tumas meis goes up and comes back down again, and there, obviously, there's the tumah is not a physical entity. It's just simply the tumah coming down, and obviously the tumah is plenty, has plenty ability to penetrate into the interior of these small little vials. Anyway, with all that stated, let's just now go back to the Gemara and let's remember what we just learned together. We learned together that when it comes to the smapots, so it is going to be subject to tumah. It'll be subject to tumas medras and it'll also be subject to tumas meis. That's the conclusion. Here's the question. Third line down in the Gemara. The Gemara says, I don't understand because You can't put the mappas in the mikvah. Meaning, let's say the mappas becomes tummy. So now what are you going to do? You're going to put it in the mikvah? You can't. Now, why can't you? So Rashi points out over here, the reason why you can't is because we know that that which can go into the mikvah is clearly delineated in the Torah. Rashi writes over here, HaLeis Leitara B'mikvah. I'm reading the Rashi. D'chik Siv Tfilah B'Parshas Shrasim B'Parshas Midyan. So because the Torah introduces us to Tovaling in two places, both in the Parsha of Shrasim and in the Parsha of Midyan as well. But over there it says Kalim, Diksiva Asim Yafina Luhu Tvila, Avapshutikli Aits, Shalo Nichtavu Shamla Inyan Tuma, Lo Yafina Luhu Tvila. The only things that are subject to toveling in the mikvah are only those things which are enumerated over there, meaning Kalim that have a toch. But Pshutikli Aits is not. So we are now in a really strange halachic phenomena. We have just discovered something which is eligible to Tuma and eligible to Tumas Medras. And meanwhile, can't be toveled in the mikvah. Now the Gemara says, wait one second. I thought those things can't coexist. Didn't we just conclude that Kli Cheres is not eligible to Tumas Medras because it can't go into the mikvah? So therefore, we should be saying the same thing regarding our reed. Our mat reed, our mat made out of reeds should not be subject to Tumas Medras because it can't go into the mikvah. And meanwhile, the Brisa says that the mapas is in fact subject to Tumas Medras. That's the problem. The Gemara is going to respond. Amale Rabbi Chanina Shani Hasam Hol V'Ika B'Mino. So Rabbi Chanina says, okay, you're right. Meaning this is going to be a rule breaker, but at least it's made out of material that is subject to toveling in the mikvah. Meaning the mat of reeds, even though the mat itself cannot be toveled in the mikvah, nevertheless, if you have something else made out of reeds, meaning something like a basket that has a toch, that can be toveled in the mikvah. So at least you see over here that the material that we're using is not totally disconnected from the mikvah. It just happens to be that in its current form, it is disconnected from the mikvah. But in general, the item itself is not disconnected from the mikvah. Amar Lei, so when he hears the answer to this, he says, Rachman Aliflan Mahai Daita. God should save you from such a thought. Meaning, he did not like the answer of Rabbi Chanina. Adarabba Rahman Lislama Daita Didach, and Rabbi Hanin's response is, God should save you from your thought process, meaning, no, I'm right. My answer is good, my answer is correct. Vitamamai, Atrei Krai Ksive. Now he says, look, I'm going to support my answer also based on a diuk in the Psukim. One Pasuk says, Ksive Isha Shayigab Bimishkava. When a person touches his Mishkav, Uksiv Kol HaMishkav Asher Yishkav Alav Hazav Yitma. So we really have a discrepancy between two Psukim. One Pasuk describes that when a person is Mishkavo, in other words, in the possessive, it's his bed. And meanwhile, another Pasuk says, Kol Mishkav Asher Yishkav Alav, with no qualification whatsoever. So, on one hand, we made the Hekesh between the bed that he sat on and him, like we did in the beginning of, earlier in the Shir. In the meantime, however, the other Pasuk says, anything he sits on. So haketsa yesh bemino afa gav de leisle tar be mikvah ein bemino mekish mishkav alo. So the discrepancy between these two psukim are going to be resolved in the following manner. So if it's yesh bemino, meaning we're talking about reeds where it is the type of material that could be toveled in the mikvah, so even though this particular item doesn't have tar in a mikvah, so it's going to be eligible to tumah. Ein bemino, however, if it's the type of material that cannot be told from the mikvah under any circumstances, otherwise stated, kli cheres, so mekish mishkav alo, so then we have the hekesh. And so as a result of this, what comes out now is that based on the steer and the psukim, we see that this answer that was given by Rabbi Hanina is a supportable answer. It is totally defensible. And so that means to say that our mat of reeds, even though the mat itself can't be told from the mikvah, but because it's made of a material that could be told in the mikvah, consequently, it can be eligible for tumas medras. Masha Enkin, when it comes to kli cheres, that is never toveled in the mikvah. There is no construct of kli cheres being toveled in the mikvah. So therefore, it is simply not going to be subject to kli cheres, to tumas medras at all. Just to finish up over here, we're going to get to the Mishnah. Rav Amar medras kli cheres tar mehacha. And now the Gemara is going to be giving us a third source in terms of how do we know that if I have kli cheres making up a chair, and I have a zavar, a nida yoleda sitting on top of it, that this chair is not going to be subject to tumas medras because it is made out of kli cheres. How do I know that? So he cites now a third possible source. V'chol kli pasuach asher ein samid psil alav in parshas chukas, the Torah describing an earthenware jug where if it's not sealed on the top. So ha yesh samid pasil alav tahor, which means that if it's sealed on the top, so that means to say that our earthenware jug is sealed, so that no way can anyone get into the interior of this earthenware jug. So this earthenware jug now is going to be impervious to tuma. Now milo askinan de yachdinhu liishto nida v'kamerach manatahor. Now presumably over here the Torah is not specific about what exactly we're using with this earthenware jug, and presumably we're using it for any purpose. The Torah is not limiting. So therefore, we can assume that it's going to be used for any purpose. Included in any purpose is going to be that it was used for one's wife while she was in Nida. And we can even go so far as to say that it was designed for sitting for one's wife when she's in Nida. And as a result of that, the Torah is telling us that if it's a seal on top of it, it's not going to be subject to tumas medras. And assuming all these assumptions are correct, so now, once again, we have now found another source in the Torah that tells us that when I have a kli cheres and contact was not made with the interior, and even though I have a zav, in this case a nida, sitting on top of it, and even though we typically say that something designed for sitting is subject to tumas medras, but because it's kli cheres is simply not going to be subject to tumas medras. We have now a third source for this, and let's quickly recap this daf. This daf was heavy in Tumah Tahara, not just heavy, it was exclusively in Tumah Tahara, and our daf effectively made, let's call them, 2 points over the course of Shabbos daf Pei Daled. Number one, the first idea that we went over this in this daf is the fact that in order for something to be subject to tumah, it has to, and it's made out of wood, and it has a toch, it has to be mitatel malavirekan. It has to be transported both when it is laden and when it's empty as well. And the smaller boats that go on the Jordan River do in fact fit this criteria, and according to the position of Hananya, that means to say that they will in fact be subject to tumah. Even though the transportation of these boats require heavy lifting, and even though, let's say, humans can't lift them and they have to be lifted by animals, nevertheless, that's considered transportation. That was the first point that we went over in the daf. The second point that we went over in the daf is that any utensil that is designed for sitting, but it's made out of Kli Cheres, is not going to be subject to Tumas Medrash. Tumas Medrash, the special, unique Tumah that is transmitted when you have somebody who's a Zavanida Yoledes. And by the way, the four of them, what do they have in common? The Tumah is Yotze Migufo. So when you have these four people who are sitting on an item, the Torah tells us that which they sit on is going to be subject to Tumas Medrash, which means that the seat that they sit on is going to also be an Av Tumah. Anybody coming into contact with the seat is going to be a Rishon L'Tumah. That's true, but only if the seat is made out of wood. If the seat is made out of Kli Cheres, so then there is not going to be a halach of Tumas Medrash. In fact, Kli Cheres is going to be impervious to Tumas Medrash. That's the second point that we did in the daf today. Why should that be? So there has been now three approaches to this. The first two approaches are very similar to one another. The Torah compares that which the Zav sits to that which he sits on. Just like a Zav is going, it can experience Tahara through a mikvah, so too the Medrash that which he sits on is also something that can experience Tahara in a mikvah. And because Kli Cheres does not have this quality where it experiences Tahara in a mikvah, so therefore it is not included in Tumas Medrash. The second drasha, very similar. It just happens to be describing the Zava, not the Zav, but very similar. The question the Gemara asks is that we found what seemingly is an exception to this rule, because we have our mapats, our mat made out of reed, which we said is eligible for Tumas Medrash and eligible for standard Tumas Mace, and it can't be toveled in the mikvah. And how does that work? So the Gemara says, yeah, but the answer is very simple. I could say it in one word, mino. Even though in this case it's not eligible to be toveled in the mikvah, but at least the material is something where it is eligible to go into the mikvah under other circumstances. Kli Cheres is never eligible to go into the mikvah. And finally, just to wrap up the daf, the Gemara gave us a third source for this halacha, that Kli Cheres is not subject to Tumas Medrash, based on the fact that the Torah describes a sealed earthenware jug, where, again, the Torah is not limiting what it's describing, and it could very well be describing a chair designed for Anida, and the Torah still says that it's impervious to Tumas Medrash. A third possible source that teaches us that Kli Cheres is not subject to Tumas Medrash.